Hey everybody, real quick, we want to talk to you about The Next Level. The Next Level is All Eyes on Fishing's advanced series in our podcast where we go into more advanced techniques, topics, and how to catch fish more consistently. Be sure if you like our podcast to check out The Next Level. Go into our podcast and click on any of the podcasts that say The Next Level and it will prompt you to subscribe. For the cost of a dozen night crawlers, you can subscribe monthly to The Next Level and get more All Eyes all the time. The Next Level is really going to help you to fish your next level.
All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Today's podcast, we're going to talk about early active fish. Now, why are we getting into that?
Because it's early.
Yeah.
And we like fish.
And
we like,
yeah. And it's going to be spring coming up, and we got to figure out where these early active fish are. Now that your ice is starting to come off, what are you going to do?
We're going to go fishing. A lot of fishing.
I'm going to go fishing.
Because it's not safe to be on the ice right now.
Well, no, it's like a big slush pit.
Yeah, so, but now we got to go find fish. What are we going to do?
You got to think outside the box a little.
Why?
I think.
Dude, you need to figure out the box before you step outside.
focus on the box.
That was high school. I really do think you have to think outside the box. I mean, guys, I can remember when I was younger, you know, I hated spring fishing. I hated spring fishing like I hated fall fishing because it was hard. And you would go down there and you'd get skunked. I mean, and it was cold and you froze your hands off and the weather stunk and it was
not if you can find the early active fish.
Well, there you go. But I think that's the key, right? Is we would go down there, we'd fish our same summer spots. We wouldn't catch any fish. And I would
probably
go home.
Using the same summer techniques.
I'd go home and say, fishing sucks this time of year. I'll wait till May. And I wouldn't go till May.
So most of our lakes out here are reservoirs, right?
Is that right?
That's right, man.
I thought so. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I would agree. Typically,
this is going to be a rough go tonight. Yeah, I can already tell.
It's a little gamey in here.
So,
we need to start off with, let's say, the reservoirs, rivers, whatever. We got to talk about location, right?
Well, location's huge.
It is because you touched on it. You're thinking your summer spots, what you've been doing. Yeah, maybe if your summer spot is an early active spot, that would be good. But you're kind of guessing there. So there's some things that you can do that can probably put you in that right location. Now, we've all been spring fishing for years and fall fishing. It's usually not like on fire, right?
Transition times. I think that's the biggest thing is these are transition times.
Yeah.
And so.
So you got to keep that kind of in mind. You're going to go out there and it's not going to be probably 100 fish days. But you can go out there and catch some quality fish.
Well, they have to eat.
Yeah, this is the time of year for your chance at the biggest slob ever, you know, especially before that pre-spawn full of eggs.
Right.
But I think it kind of goes into it. You know, all the fish, you know, I would say that the majority of the walleyes come June 10th, they're doing about the same thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, here early spring, right when the ice is coming off, you know, these fish are in different stages of their spawn, whether they're, you know, still, you know, way pre-spawn, if they're getting closer, whatever. So I think that was kind of the good point of why it doesn't feel like it can be hot and heavy in the spring, but it's really just because the fish are kind of doing different things.
Yeah.
You know, they're not all on the same, you know,
exactly
time same, frame.
Yeah, time. Yeah, no, and that's very true. And that is actually, I think the hardest thing to kind of grasp is that they aren't all on the same time frame. So you may get one night where you hammer them, and that may be that group of fish that came through. I mean, you may have been sitting in an area that might be good for spawning. The wind was blowing into the rocks. It, you know, triggered those fish to come up in there, or they had just spawned above you. And now they're coming back down, and you're at that spot where, and you hammer fish, and then you don't get fish there for another month because it's more like a summer spot. So I think that's the interesting piece is you definitely have spring and summer spots. And I think you have to check the spring spots based on the spawn and what the fish are looking for.
Yeah, well, where's that going to be? Typically, in any reservoir system, where there's probably a couple places that you're going to look for fish that are – going to be staging to spawn or have spawned.
Right? And I think they're staging now. I think they start to stage some of them under the ice.
Oh, for sure.
I think they're melting. I think the males are melting, and I think they're getting ready to go. I think we probably could go out in the tailwaters of the dam, let's say. I think we can go below any dam at this point, whether it be here or Midwest or anywhere else, California. And I think we could probably cast stick baits behind the dam and catch fish that are melting and ready to go. The smaller males will be pretty aggressive in those rivers behind dams, no problem.
Well, the two locations that I'm thinking of course, is the dam, mm-hmm. right? And then you mentioned it, rivers. So that could be below like
or
that
above.
Spillway or where your inlet is yeah. coming into that right. body of water. Because, I've read articles on that. They say about, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but like 80% of the fish are going to spawn up around the dam, the other 20 in the river. That's just kind of a rough estimate.
Yeah.
But we fished a lot of inlet. And I tell you what, if it's 20% of the fish, that's a lot of fish.
Oh, my God. I'd like to see the pile of the 80%.
No kidding, right?
I mean, we can't fish the dams here,
right?
Because they close them
off.
So we can't fish them. So we're kind of forced to that. But what we can fish is things that are similar to the dam. Yeah. They close off our dams, but the riprap and stuff adjacent to the dam or leading up to the dam are still great holding areas for these fish.
Well, and the other location is if you're not offshore, because shore fishing this time of year can be every bit as good as boat fishing. But if you are in the boat, remember those fish are going to be higher in the water column. So they could be cruising in 2-3 feet of water or out over 20 feet of water, 2 or 3 feet below the surface of the lake. So that is how you can, if the dam is closed, we can fish off the dam and still target those same fish as they cruise that upper level, the warmer water, where the bait fish are, you know, that's what they're doing is they're looking to ambush those fish from underneath and they're in that shallower water. So that's another easy way and another place to locate more of those fish.
You know, we've been talking about kind of locations based on the spawn, but here's another thing. You know, keep an eye on your favorite walleye lake, and where that ice comes off first typically is going to be the warmest water in the lake.
Right.
So a lot of times it might be that southern bay, that shallower. When that opens up, it's kind of giving you that clue that the water is warmer there. And what happens with the warmer water that we all know? The bait fish are going to go there. So mm-hmm. what's going to fall on the predators? So, again, these fish in different stages of their spawn, man, there's a bunch that haven't quite turned on yet, and they're thinking about let's go feed.
Well, think about that. Typically, they say that those walleye will spawn that 42 to 44, a majority of them. But when ice is out, that water's not 44, but it's maybe 38, 39. Mm-hmm. Those fish, that's the typical. There's a lot of fish moving up mm-hmm. into that warmer water where it might hit that 42 with the sun beating down in that shallower. And then at night, it gets to its true temperature. The water turns it over a little bit. It's actually 38, 39, whatever it is. But those fish have moved up there for a reason because it's warmer, like you said, right? The bait fish have moved up there. Well, anytime bait fish, just like you said, bait fish are moving up there, we are going to have the predators go up there. So I prefer when the first couple weeks of ice are out. I mean, I love getting out on my boat, but sometimes that's kind of a pain, especially if you're going out late at night with our ANS inspections and stuff here. I have no problem walking from the parking lot down to those where that water's open. We fish plenty of water where the half the lake is still frozen, but we fish that warmest water that we can find and done fairly well.
Yep. Well, and when you do start to fish those open pockets and things like that, remember that entire landscape can change with one good windstorm.
It can.
One good windstorm, all of a sudden, boom, now you have the lakes open. Completely open, right? Mm-hmm. Or you have like Great Lakes, big chunks of ice out floating, like, you know, Titanic, you know,
icebergs,
Lund icebergs. I mean, so you have that, but you know, just a good wind could change the entire thing. Now you're really gonna go on the hunt. And so, if you guys were gonna go out, and let's say the lake had just blown off, it had just completely cleared off, went from ice to no ice in 2 days with a good, you know, March windstorm like we get here every day, it seems like. Where would you go?
Well, the first thing I'm going to go, because I'm kind of fishing a memory, is I'm going to go down by where the inlet is. I'm a fish.
So you're going to do inlet instead of dam?
I am, because the lake that I'm thinking of, the dam doesn't open up first.
Right.
You know, it's going to open up, or it will a little bit, but it's very sporadic. Where I now don't know down on the southern end of this lake that we fish, it's going to be
open. And night and day or night.
Well, so that's something we could talk about. There's two different things, two kind of different aspects of fishing, both day and nighttime.
Well, just pick one for this.
I'm going to go night. Okay. Is where I'm going to go.
Okay.
I seem to have I fish during the day quite a bit, but I think me and Mitch, we predominantly go out at night. Now, is that because it's our work schedule allows us to do that, or because it's success? I think it's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. That we've done pretty well at night fishing. That southern part of the lake that I'm thinking of, but there's an inlet, mm-hmm. and then just up from the inlet too, there's some. It's kind of like its own little mini dam. There's riprap and stuff that we'll cast next to, parallel to the shore, sure. and cast that because it's huge. I mean, we've done very well there, so that's where I'm going to go first. How about you, Mitch? What do you think?
Yeah, no, I like that plan.
You like the inlet?
I like it. Yeah.
See, I'm going to go in the cups. I'm going to go up to the dam, and I'm going to go in the cups of the dam. I'm going to go at the ends where they start to, you know, they start to change direction, where the riprap and the big rock kind of start to play out a little. Mm-hmm. It's not over yet, right? Like the big rock hasn't stopped, but it's in those cups on the edges. That water is going to warm quicker. It's going to tend to be a little more shallow. You may even have some vegetation that's dead on the bottom, or starting to come back up. And it probably did have ice on it at some point in, you know, within the last few days, but now it's done. You know, that is all the place for those fish to come cruising in at night. So I'm going to start in the cup, and I'm going to come out along the dam, and then I'm going to go back into the cup.
Are you on boat or foot?
Foot. Okay. Foot. If I'm on foot and I'm walking the shore, you know, I love fishing on foot this time of year. I mean, it's just, it's more efficient, right? Like this time of year is tough with the boat because first off, it's colder, you know, colder than cold. You get out there, you freeze. And then you said with the inspection stuff, you know, the second you hit where the parking lot, you're on foot and you're casting and fishing. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of wasted time with the boat this time of year. So I don't mind, especially at night, you know, where it's, you got to worry about getting everything loaded. And I would just much rather
hit it and go. It's funny you say that because I've thought about the two places that me and Mitch predominantly go, or when I take out my son or I go out by myself. A lot of times we are in that cup too. Mm-hmm. The cup just off to the west side of the dam. We do end up fishing that quite a bit also. And I'll tell you, Roy, I'm just, because I'm lazy, it's easier to get to. And
sure.
We've caught fish there.
Well, it's walking just on those rocks sucks.
Yeah, it's just easier to get to.
Yeah.
So what about the lakes that never freeze up? You know, like Pueblo, down south, or Trinidad, very, very
or
rare.
Any of the southern reservoirs, Texas, New Mexico, wherever. Yeah.
They if they get ice, it's paper thin, right? Right. They probably don't have a great ice season. I don't know because I don't fish them that well. But what do we do in those lakes? I mean, a large majority of the lakes throughout the United States are going to have ice on them, right? That are walleye lakes, mm-hmm. anyway. But the ones that don't, where are we going to look there?
It's the same thing, I think.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, same thing.
Same thing. That's exactly what I wanted to get at.
Just because there's no ice on the lake still doesn't mean that water may still be the warmest in the lake. It, you know, they're a lot of these spots are kind of based around their spawning activities that they're doing right now. Well, they're doing it down there too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and don't overlook those riprap areas off to the sides of boat ramps.
Well, another trick to doing it during the day too is if you're not out there fishing, but you can get by your lake, or even if you're out there fishing in the daytime, a huge thing to keep in mind, at least I do, if you're going to go out during the day, is it's hard to see water temp. You're not seeing ice melt off, but you can sure see where those gulls are going.
Yeah.
You can see where they're hanging out.
I was going to say, you can see where the pack of boats are.
Yeah.
You want to go straight there?
Yeah. But, I know.
That's how Brad fishes. He gets on the water and he's like, well, where's the boats today, boys? Let's go.
Well, I'm still on shore. So it's hard to keep up with them on foot.
I got a cast.
But seriously, why are the gulls there?
Right.
Because there's bait fish there.
Yep.
They're not just hanging out for water.
Right.
They're getting the bait fish that are dying off, and they're eating them there, which means that other bait, they're only ones that are dying are right. because they're in there.
Right. And technically, this time of year should be the time of year when the bait fish are the least plentiful, although we do have our reservoirs here where there are still huge schools of bait fish. You know, Cherry Creek's a great example. You know, you can see clouds of bait fish all over your graph. But technically, this is the time of year when a lot of the bait fish are at its lowest or lower numbers after that very last spawn, whatever it ends up being in your lake. I mean, sometimes it could be late summer, but You know, so that's the other interesting piece is sometimes there isn't a ton of bait fish, but there's some, and if you can find them, it's definitely a gold mine. But I think, like you were saying from the shore, if you can go and do the riprap off the sides of boat ramps are going to heat up faster because that concrete's going to warm the water below it faster.
It will.
And those fish are going to come in there along with the also because what commonly is seen at most boat ramps at night? What is there that would
Me?
Attract?
Okay. I'm looking at myself.
Think about it, right?
And trout?
No, it's kind of a trick question, right? It's nothing. It's something that would be set there by man. A light.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
They commonly
okay, Confucius.
Will put
I was like, yeah.
I'm scratching my head.
I knew I couldn't keep playing that on. You both were looking like
a couple
of
turn the light on in my own head.
But a light, right?
There's a dock.
There's
there.
A dock light, right? So they'll put a dock light out there. That will attract those shad. We've all seen it. We've seen it, especially in the fall. They'll come up in there attracted to that light. Man, that is a great place to throw jerk baits, stick baits. At night because they will come up and get attracted to those lights.
Well, go ahead.
I will say that, you know, we were kind of talking about the time of the day and, you know, we typically go at night. I'm only going to go at night and it's usually because I'm casting from shore and depending on the area, you know, if I'm on the dam, you can get some deeper water and stuff. But personally, I think during the day, for the most part, a lot of those fish are hanging out in the little bit deeper water. And just moving into the shallows to kind of feed. And for me, it's nighttime.
That's interesting. See, I don't completely buy into that just because I have seen some really nice big fish caught during the day, casting up still to riprap type areas, right?
Yeah.
Or shallower rocky mm-hmm. areas using just normal crankbaits.
Are you talking only in the spring?
Yeah, like right now.
Yeah,
if we were
talking. I've seen it too. Way early spring. Yeah. I mean, is there you know either
because definitely that
or
that
right
doesn't
after,
hold,
or
hold water right for summer fishing.
Oh no.
We're talking.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I you know what I think it's out of convenience that I probably go 90%, but I do enjoy going out with 2 or 3 hours of light left and just fishing, and I've had some success. Doing that, but yeah. I seem to have better success at night.
Well, you would because that's when they're going to. Cruise yeah. more and they're more predatorial at night. We know that, but I still think during the day they're.
You still have very you yeah. have opportunities
and, well,
for sure,
and I don't think they hang out super deep. I mean, they might. I think there's like we said, they're all in different stages, right?
Yeah.
So there may be that chunk that are in the little bit deeper water, which then I would go at them with some sort of jig and wrap or something. But I think for the most part, your bigger fish, your aggressive fish, your better fish. I think you're still during the day going to get them casting up towards your shallower, warmer water. I've just and it doesn't have to be stick baits at that point. You could be using a size 5 or size 7 flicker shad.
Something to get
or,
a little bit deeper.
Yeah,
so if you're
you
not
know,
quite pitching parallel, because right. I think that's pretty important is the presentation that you're doing is whether it's night or day. I think that I would still try to go in the evening hours, but it's one of those things that if you're standing down on the shoreline and you're casting your stick bait, predominantly is what we do, and we can talk about that more in another podcast, like what type of stick baits, but shallow
yeah.
diving baits that are longer. But I will cast them. I do cast them straight out sometimes, but most of the time it's like 20, 30 degrees.
Yeah.
To the angle to the shoreline.
Oh, I do the whole fan, the whole rainbow.
So do I. But think about this. I think I have more. If you had to reflect back on 100 casts, where is the majority of fish coming from?
Where my bait is staying in the zone longer, and that's on the more parallels.
Yes.
For sure.
I remember when I was out fishing with my son last year, everything we caught was straight out in front of us. Hmm. And I was just baffled because I was like, oh, for years. I caught a couple fish casting off to the sides, but for some reason they had moved up. Mm-hmm. And we were still casting stick baits, so they were just to what you said. Mm-hmm. They were still only 2 or 3 feet down, but they were in 13 feet of water because I know mm-hmm. by loading my boat there before how deep
sure.
that is. And those fish were moving in, and we were catching them out there before they had came into the shore mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. we were there early. But I think predominantly if I was taking somebody out and said, hey, we are going to go out. It's been dark for 2 hours. We're going to go fish right. for two. I would say probably 70% of our casts are going to be at that 20, 30, 40 degree angle and with an occasional out in the middle.
Yeah. Well, and don't forget, this time of year is that fun time of year where you can catch multiple species doing this. I mean,
smallies will go crazy. Smallies will
wreck
trout.
It, and the rainbows will wreck it, and so will the wipers. So if you're in a lake that has wipers or even white bass, they will destroy it. I mean, in the exact same way. So you can have a night where you have a 3, 4, 5 species night because – I mean, everything that's out there is starting to come up at that night time.
Why are they there? Because that's where the bait fish are going. That's what they're feeding on.
Yep. I mean, big northerns. I've had big northerns on a night in the springtime fishing for walleyes and just have it come up.
That scares the shit out of me.
Oh, my gosh. And just wreck it.
What was that? Oh, awesome.
I have one. I can remember one in college. I took my roommate, and we'd heard about this lake. It was a small lake off the side of the road, kind of out in the middle of the county kind of thing. And we went out there at night, and a road crosses over borders the edge of it. And we parked and went off of that road where the riprap was. And there were some trees out, some small trees out in the water, casting original
Rapalas.
Thank you. And size 13, the bigger ones. And big walleyes and big northerns in here. I'm pretty sure it was a northern. It could have been a huge walleye. I don't know. I never got to see it, but it demolished it.
Sounds like a carp to me.
It did the alligator roll. You know, carp, how they hit it. Did a roll.
Or catfish.
Whatever. Shut up. Yeah. But it took me into one of those little sapling trees out there, and I never got to see it. I couldn't get it off. Finally, the line broke.
You know what? We actually had listeners talk about early spring fishing, and they were asking what kind of baits. This is playing in perfect. We're going to do another podcast on stick baits.
Yeah.
That's what our next one is.
Yeah, because that's my go-to.
Oh,
that's
yeah, go-to. Dude. Yeah.
I mean, and not to say that you couldn't throw on a twister tail and pitch jigs.
Me and Linda were pitching that small lake in the middle of Denver. We were casting twister tails.
Yeah. Or swim baits. Swim baits are great too. Yep. So yeah, no, that'll be the next one.
It's got to be because that goes right into it because we keep talking stick baits. We need to talk about what kind of stick baits.
But look,
definitely Rapala is going to be there. Yeah. Not Rapala.
So the Rapalas. But to wrap this one up, the early active fish are going to be where it's the warmest water if you can find it. Right.
Yep.
Don't be afraid to fish from shore. I almost do too. And you know, fine. And another thing about that riprap and those rocks, not only do they spawn there, but that also gets warmer faster because it reflects that sun.
The rocks,
and
the rocks
holds that heat, and
yeah, all the moss that's been on them that grabs that heat. It just warms up.
It pulls everything in. You know, so everything seems to get more active up around those dams if you have them, or riprap off to the side of boat ramps, or like in the Great Lakes, right? If you have those points that come out on piers and stuff, you know, anything off of there, I think would be great. You know, especially if like a great example would be coming out of the Escanaba Harbor, right? They had those two big long walks on either side. Mm-hmm. All of them were riprap. Or coming out of the Ford River,
would be perfect.
All of them were riprap coming out. You know, heck, we fished those just casting to stay out of the wind the first day we got there. Mm-hmm. But those would all be great walleye type spots.
They'd be good ones. Yeah. So don't forget about the inlets too, because it can be pretty cool.
Yeah.
The one thing I want you guys to take away from this too, one more thing, is to get out now. If you still have ice on your lake, drive by it every few days.
Yeah.
Take a peek at what's going on with that lake, because it's
drool.
Because it's going to show you what's warming up first, where you're going to be able to fish.
Open up.
I know.
Oh, we're getting close.
Oh my God. Yeah. Minutes. Well, days, but it seemed like hours.
Well, I mean, there have been years where it is beginning of March where we've been out there.
Been out there on this day. Yeah. Oh, heck yeah.
I actually have a picture showed up in my Facebook of one that we took from 2 years ago where the three of us were out.
Yeah. I had one show up too. Me and Linda went out. We had two nice ones.
Yep.
And I was like, look at that. Yep. And we were in short sleeve shirts beginning of March.
Yeah. Well, it snowed 4 inches last night here. So we're going
to
go
a little different. So anyway, hey, from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, I'd like to thank you for following our podcast. Make sure you're checking out The Next Level. Also, send us any questions that you have to alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. And continue to follow us, support us. We really appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.